You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 20th of December 2015 on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're delving into the latest report from UBS and PwC, The Changing Faces of Billionaires, which analyses some key trends and issues, including the changing role of women in building fortunes, assessing the impact of business and market volatility, and maintaining enduring legacies. We start with Marcel Widrig, partner in the Zurich practice of PwC, heading the private wealth and entrepreneur business in Switzerland. Marcel explains a little bit about the methodology used to compile the report.
We somehow collected publicly available data, reviewed them, checked them, added them with different sources, so that we have, let's say for 2014, this close to 1,400 billionaires, and we had a timeline of 20 years back where we somehow investigated all this publicly available data. This is one thing. So this data mining exercise is one part of the study, and this is what I think it makes a little bit the special point of these things. We added up these with some qualitative elements consisting of interviews with billionaires, where we somehow started to question the finding we get out of the numbers and to get their additional points, opinions and this kind of stuff. It's a mixture between both quantitative as well as qualitative elements.
John Matthews is UBS Head of Private Wealth Management in the ultra-high net worth client segment for Wealth Management Americas in the US. He gives some of the background to the data and its findings.
Back in May, we came out with the original report called Billionaires, Master Architects of Great Wealth, along with PricewaterhouseCoopers. But we wanted to dig deeper, so this is the second report called Faces of Billionaires. And we really dug in deep on a few different themes. And one of them is the growth of the female billionaire and what we've labeled the Athena factor. Athena is the goddess or was the goddess of wisdom and crafts. And that's exactly what's going on here. The number of female billionaires are growing at 27% faster than their male peers, which is interesting. In other words, today more and more women are becoming extremely wealthy and in that billionaire category. You know, a good portion of those are from family legacies, but these women are really starting to be the wealth creators in the family. They are driving wealth creation in their family businesses. And then you have another group of these women billionaires that are self-made. They're entrepreneurs, and we think that's the part that will actually grow the fastest over the next decade.
Joe Stadler is Global Head of Ultra High Net Worth Banking at UBS, looking after the wealthiest clients of the bank. Here's Joe's summary of the report's main themes.
So we have examined the wealthiest markets globally, accounting for about 75% of all wealth globally. We looked at over 1,300 billionaires in 14 countries, and we have looked at a period of two decades starting in 1995, where roughly $4.7 trillion were created. And the three takeaways are, first, we looked at the female billionaire cohort. Then we looked at how billionaires maintain their wealth in the long term. And the third is how billionaires make their wealth last and what kind of traps they need to avoid.
Joe Stadler there. Up next on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll dig a little deeper into the findings. Let's look now at one of the key findings of the report, the growth in the population of female billionaires. Joe Stadler takes up the story.
The number of female billionaires has grown a quarter, 25 to 27% faster than their male peers. That's the first point. The second point is, female billionaires are driving wealth creation in family businesses, especially in Asia. The third one is we expect more female billionaires going forward, particularly with self-made fortunes. And the last female-related point I want to make is in Asia already, half of female billionaires are self-made.
When it comes to female billionaires, it's a very different picture from region to region. That's according to John Matthews.
Depending on what region of the world you live in, in Asia, for example, where we have the fastest growth, not only is it legacy family billionaires, but it's the rise of the self-made women billionaires. In Europe, it's a little bit more, I would say, muted. And in the U.S., where the male billionaires are growing relatively fast as well, so are the females. But once again, as we look out over the future, where we see the fastest growth, and we don't see it changing anytime soon, is in Asia. Now, it's a smaller base, right? But that is where most of the wealth creation is occurring. And, you know, the one question you may have, because we thought about this, is why? I mean, what's going on over there? And, you know, a couple of things I would say is the education of girls. If you think back 20 or 30 years ago, education wasn't readily available for many women or girls in that part of the world, in that region, and today it is. And so you see a more educated, more competent woman out there that are driving wealth and wealth creation. Education's always been there in the more mature markets, but you see it in Asia. The other thing I would add that I think is really remarkable is that there's really trailblazers out there that have really set the tone.
So what of these trailblazing women, and why do we call it the Athena Factor? John Matthews continues.
If you think about the number of women today that are in business, the number of women that are in politics, sports figures, you know, these are the people that set the tone for this next group of women that are having success today. I think of my good friend Billie Jean King, the tennis star, and, you know, I think of what she used to say to not just girls but to everyone is like, you know, you can achieve anything you want to. And it's that type of trailblazing along with education, I think, that's really driving this growth in our women billionaires, and that's why we call it the Athena Factor.
One interesting question thrown up by these findings is simply, are there meaningful differences between male and female billionaires?
I had to confess there are none. So people looked at me in disbelief, and I elaborated in the following way. Both male and female meet three following criteria that actually make a billionaire a billionaire. The first one is these are smart risk takers who occasionally take enormous risks. I haven't seen a female billionaire that didn't take enormous risks. Smart risk taking, but they take risks. The second one is that they are focused, unbelievably focused. And I tell you, it's gender agnostic. And the third one is they are not deterred by business failures. Again, gender agnostic. Females and males experienced failures, dealt with it, and came out stronger than ever.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the volatility of wealth, how billionaires can survive and thrive, and look down the road ahead for today's billionaires. Throughout this report, The Changing Faces of Billionaires, there are plenty of insights into the relative volatility of extreme wealth. Here's Joe Stadler to explain.
The key takeaway is that once a billionaire doesn't mean you will always be a billionaire. So less than half of the billionaire cohort in 1995 are still billionaires today. But those that lasted, and that's very important now here, outperformed both equity markets and global GDP and nearly quadrupled their average wealth to a roughly $11 billion. So in 1995, the average billionaire wealth was $2.7 billion. Those who survived are now around 11.
And the historical perspective, what's happened since the 1990s, makes for equally fascinating reading. John Matthews details how the data shows quite a high attrition rate amongst billionaires in this time.
You know, just because you made your first billion doesn't mean that you're going to stay a billionaire. And if we go back to 1995, the count of billionaires around the world was 289. And you look today, of those 289, only 126 of them remain. So because of death or business failures or just poor management of the family business, you had over 50% of those billionaires drop out. But with that said, is the ones that survived today have grown their net worth on an average of four times what it used to be. So they've quadrupled their net worth. That's outperforming the equity markets and outperform global GDP. And so they've become very successful. And so you have a high dropout rate, but the ones who I think get their business the right way and have strong managerial teams and family governance prove that they can take that wealth and really drive it. At the same time, during that period, we've created another 1,200 billionaires. And so what will be interesting over the next decade is to see how this 1,200 that was generated over the last 20 years, how they survive and move forward. course, they're all getting older. They're all, you know, most of them are over 60 years old. So there'll be some big decisions to be made.
It's worth a look next at how the new generation will fare in the face of these and other challenges. How does one safeguard both wealth and a lasting financial legacy? Well, the findings suggest that it is critical to stick to the initial wealth-generating business, which is so often a family business.
You know, it's kind of the old adage of, you know, sticking with your core. And what we found when we really dug into these interviews is that while when they were creating their wealth, a lot of times their business empires grew as well. They expanded. And then they start, you know, sometimes it can get diluted and they lose focus. And what we found is that when they focus on that core business, the one that got them there, they can divest of things that maybe aren't as important and maybe invest in other things that are more tied to it. But that usually that one business keeps the focus of the family and the business. It usually generates a lot of cash, right? So it's a great cash generator for the family. And it's really their area of expertise. You know, we look at billionaires today, they're different than the billionaires of the first Gilded Age at the turn of the century. Back then, it was most of our billionaires were created from transportation, from steel, from industry. And today it's different. Our billionaires today are being created by retail and consumer businesses, by technology, obviously, and by finance. And so you think of those retail and consumer businesses, it's focusing with the one that got you there. And then what's key is when we look at these billionaires is that usually when you go from generation one to generation two, or you're introducing generation two, do you have the right managerial expertise to run the business? And sometimes that's the tricky question. Family over professionalism, right? You may have to make that hard decision that the son or the daughter is not quite ready to run the business, so you have to bring in that expertise. But stick to your core, and we found those that did that had a greater success rate.
How does Joe Stadler think that today's billionaires can best make their wealth last?
Two-thirds of the billionaires today are over 60, and they face critical wealth transfer decisions. And what we found was that the number one key element to make wealth last is to keep the initial business entirely or in part. So those who liquidate, sell, go to cash, underperform those who keep a significant part of their wealth in their operating footprint. The key concerns the billionaires have today that will affect whether and how long their wealth will last are threefold. It's tax and regulation, and it's threatening economic environments. So they have to basically counter those three threats by smartly allocating their assets, building family offices that allow them to strategically allocate their assets, and make sure that their family succession is managed properly.
Before the end of today's program, let's consider some of the challenges of wealth transfer and transition between generations. First, with Marcel Vidrig.
I mean, they have to. This is not necessarily a billionaire's problem, but that's for sure the same with all family businesses. So you have to train kind of the next generation properly. And if it's a big stake of assets and businesses you get, you have to be trained, let's say, better than if it's a small thing, of course. The big issue is normally to get from the first to the second generation, because especially in the billionaire area, the first generation entrepreneurs, they're very charismatic and they unify a lot of skills you typically don't find the second or third generation anymore. And to get, just to be aware that there are successes which have, let's say, for sure certain skills, but not this unique combination which allowed for a billionaire to adjust the transfer in this respect. This is one of the key elements they have to take care about.
The report also reflects on some of the preoccupations of the current billionaire group. We asked John Matthews, what are their greatest concerns right now?
A lot of billionaires are worried about things they can't control, like the anti-wealth sentiment in politics today. Growing taxes and increasingly stringent global regulations are big threats to them. So how do you properly make the right decisions in terms of your wealth preservation? And one of the benefits of that, what I've seen, especially over the last 10 years, is philanthropy. You see more and more, especially the younger and younger billionaires, give more and more of their wealth away. And, you know, one way to keep your wealth is, and ironically or oddly, is to give it away. And you see that in the form of family foundations and family trust, to where they give a large part of their future wealth away, but they keep control of it. And those are the things that are important for these families to continue their success.
And finally, a reflection on the challenge of regulation and tax issues and how to deal with them. Here's Joe Stadler.
We are living in the second Gilded Age, which means the income and wealth inequality has topped. We are now at a stage similar to 1905. And history has shown that beyond a certain inequality, the society will no longer tolerate to privatize profits and socialize costs. So society will take decisions to equalize. This is out of control of the billionaires, but this is just the overlay under which the billionaires will operate going forward. Now, the tax issue, where the billionaires can have an impact or where they can influence their tax rates going forward, is when it comes to succession taxes or taxes that are raised after one of the owners or two or three owners passed away, inheritance taxes to be precise. There, obviously, specialists can optimize the tax burden to an acceptable level. And that is exactly what they're looking for right now and what they're looking at. So you have one factor which is influenceable, which is how they manage the inheritance taxes going forward. And one is not influenceable and is the result of the income and wealth inequality of which they are the source for the public discontent. So you see what I'm saying? It's quite tricky, and that's their biggest concern.
And that's Joe Stadler bringing us to the end of this 63rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.